Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Redford, Michigan, of Mexican descent. A $150 raffle ticket in 1979 at a Builders Association dinner dance changed his life and tens of thousands of others. He started a business that same year with less than $20,000 to his name, and today, Ideal Group is one of America's largest Hispanic-owned firms with revenues of $250 million and 500-plus employees. His name? Frank Venegas Jr. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Frank Venegas Jr., the founder and CEO of Ideal Group and a great friend. Frank, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Well, thank you, Jack. Always the intro when you introduce people, I always kind of gets me excited on the end of the seat, and then I got to hear you introduce me, and I must tell you, I'm on the end of my seat, and it's great to be here tonight.
Thank you. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, it's kind of crazy and kind of weird, but my grandfather left Mexico in 1917, and he heard about this opportunity of working up for an automobile company called Ford Motor Company, and they had great pay, $5 a day. And so my grandfather, along with my grandmother, left and had my dad in Kansas City, continued on here to Detroit, and in the year 2017, we'll be celebrating our 100th year here. My grandfather worked for Ford Motor Company for 41 years, and my father worked there for 39. It was kind of a crazy, wild, and a wonderful opportunity to have a person like my grandfather. He taught me so much. A lot of the things that he told me, and one of the main things was, he says, don't forget, son, do what your boss doesn't want to do, and you'll get his job every time. And I wasn't much older than 5, 6, 7 years old when he started telling me that, and never could figure it out until, when I finally got my first job. I finally realized, look what the boss doesn't want to do and start doing what he does, and I got promotions. It was pretty incredible.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, Frank, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, my mom was a seamstress, and she sewed people's clothes. If someone had a tear in their blouse, she fixed the blouse. If someone bought new pants, she tapered the pants, and she had quite a business. And my mother was an entrepreneur, a small entrepreneur, but an entrepreneur that was growing. She grew her business to the point where she had a lot more customers than my father thought she had, because she used to fill money in ball jars, as odd as it seemed, and then she showed me how to keep track on who owes and how much work she has coming up and what's going on. And then, my dad continued on. He was an assembly line worker at Ford, and we had a big strike. It was about a 60-day strike. It was pretty incredible. I can remember the strikes because there was no money. And this one was longer than normal, and my mom says, I got money, let's go back in the closet. We went in the closet, brought out these ball jars, turned them over, started counting on how much money was there, and my dad got mad. He was a real hard-nosed Mexican. He believed, and he was a provider, and he was the guy that brought the money home. And she taught me how to be an entrepreneur. My father... It bugged him enough where he asked my mom not to sew anymore and become a regular hourly job worker. My dad, perseverance, he taught me how to be tough and how to be honest, but more importantly, be proud of who you are, what you are, but make a living and make an honest living, and that's what I've always done.
Let's go back 36 years, 1979, and you go to a Builders Association dinner dance. What happened?
Well, Chuck, I can, you know, it's kind of crazy. I can remember it was at the McGinnis restaurant in Brighton, Michigan, and it was for the Livingston County Home Builders Association. And this is in 1979. The ticket was $150. And $150 is a lot of money back then. I asked my boss to buy the ticket. He said no. So I wanted to go. A lot of my friends were there. And my wife was pregnant. We just bought a home, and I bought this ticket. And it wasn't because of the Cadillac. It was because I wanted to go, and I knew I was going to win the Cadillac. And we danced and sang and drank around this Cadillac. And at the end of the night, the last ticket in the barrel drove the Cadillac home. I drove the Cadillac home, kept it for 9 days. I sold it, and I started my business.
How much did you get for that Cadillac?
$1,200 on a used car. And it was quite a used car.
Frank, where did you ever get the chutzpah, the courage, the audacity to follow your dream to start a business?
Jack, I think the only way, because I didn't know any better. I'd almost go with the entrepreneur spirit inside me, wanting to be my own boss. I actually had businesses when I was 10 and 12 years old. I always had something going. I always had something going on in the neighborhood. I become a locksmith, and I had a little lock business. It just it was in it, and I did it. And I sometimes think about, gosh, what would it have been like to drive around a Cadillac at 27 years old? God, how many girls could I have met? It might have been a lot of fun, but it went this route, and it's pretty good this way.
You start the business in December of 79. In 1980, the revenue was $400,000 revenue. Then the recession hits in 81. For a lot of people, it was a depression. 18%+ interest rates. Frank, tell us about that time and how did you ever survive?
Well, I did what my dad told me, and that is one, make an honest living, but more so is, find a way to make money, but find a way to take care of yourself and your family. And I always looked at it as what goes on is an opportunity. I sold building supplies for houses. They weren't going to build any houses. So I looked around, and everybody was buying these wood stoves and prefab fireplaces to heat their houses because of the oil embargo in 79. And so I started selling them. And I started selling more than anyone in the state, but most importantly, it got me through this recession, depression, whatever you want to call. But I think more than anything else, it prepared me for every recession, every depression, and every time I hit a pitfall in my life is that there really is hope. You just got to play with the time.
We're talking to Frank Venegas Jr., and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and with Frank Venegas, who in 1979, with less than $20,000 to his name, started a business. Let's jump forward. Your plant's in Hamburg, west of Brighton, and the late Tigers pitcher, Hank Aguirre, has a heart-to-heart talk with you, Frank. What did he tell you?
He told me that I needed to take a look at myself in the mirror and see who and how and what do I represent. And with that, he reminded me of my Mexican background, but more importantly, about my grandma, my grandfather, my dad, my mom. You know who you are. And he said, we need you here in Detroit. And he was on me for years. I'll be real honest with you. It was a tough decision to come back to Detroit. I wish he would have been alive to see me come back to Detroit, because when Hank passed, it was myself and Facundo Bravo and Carmen Munoz and the late Rick Gonzalez that put our heads together and went to the automobile companies, GM, Ford, and Chrysler, and said, hey, do you have a building that we could buy? And we're going to bring one of our companies here, not so much as a testament or a memory of Hank, but it was more on what Hank told us. He says, you need to come back here. You need to work with your people. But more than anything else is we need you. And, I mean, just look at it this way. When there was a flood down in New Orleans and people said we needed you, all sorts of people went there. People that never sent any money to New Orleans sent money to New Orleans. I mean, we looked at it in a different way. And when Hank passed, it got me to think. And we bought the old Cadillac Clark Street plant. We turned it into a manufacturing mecca. We have, I don't know, sometimes 300 people work there. All different kinds of people. Engineers, manufacturing people, laborers. We got the best benefits in town. We call it the Silicon Valley Company of Southwest Detroit, and we're proud of it.
Why the name The Ideal Group, Frank?
Well, I originally wanted to call it Cadillac Steel because I won the Cadillac, and I looked and found out there was another Cadillac Steel Company, so I had to go back to the drawing boards, and I come up with Ideal Steel, and then as the company grew, and as we grew from one company to, I think we're 8 or 9 now, and I think this year, Jack, we're going to reach maybe $350 million in sales. We've been growing, and sometimes we have as many as 750 to 800 people working for us. So, you know, the thing is just growing and going, but what's happened in Southwest Detroit and what's happened in Detroit is just remarkable.
You've had a lot of crazy ideas. You took 4 rival gangs, you brought them together, and you hired 80 of them. That would never work, Frank. What happened?
Well, most people said that we were nuts. You know what? They really didn't even say that we were nuts. They knew we were nuts. And so we didn't get a lot of people to say too much, except Angie Reyes, and she is the executive director and the founder of a thing called Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation. She worked as my liaison to put the guys together. And we worked with old people. I seen them walking down the street the other day. That's part of the change of Detroit now. Ike McKinnon. And then we had Father Bob from St. Anne's Church. And myself and Bravo and Gonzalez and Munoz. And we were able to sit down. And guess what happened? We said, why don't we go talk to the gang guys? Well, we called the gang guys. We got 4 of the 5 major gangs to sit down with us. It was the typical thing as we still operate today. You don't know where you're going to meet or where you're going to go. It's a call a half an hour before we meet and we talk. And it was amazing on what come out of their mouths. They wanted jobs with medical, dental, and opportunity to create peace and make our campus a safe place. In change, they wanted jobs. So we did the crazy thing. We hired them. We hired 80. The neatest thing is we didn't take the separate gangs and put them in each company. We took the gangs and we put them together. So one guy that might have been shooting at another guy, or one guy that claimed this was my territory the day before, are now working together on how to build a product and make a product, but more importantly, how to make a life. And that was almost 18 years ago, I guess. That was a long time ago when all of this happened. Today, one of the guys that I originally hired, he's an executive manager. He runs all of my Southeast United States, and, well, he's been with me for 20 years now. He raises a family. He's got a mother, father, and it's a pretty incredible story.
We often hear that our young people, and especially gang members today, don't want to work. Is that true?
Yeah, Jack, they don't want to work, okay? They don't want to work. They don't want to work. They need to work. And what happens is we find whatever chore we do, whether they're a gang guy and they're doing their work as the gang business, or they're going to the bank and working the teller at the bank, we're there to go to work and need to do work. They were really just had, they just needed a place to work. What we found now is that, well, when we hired the guy to run our operations down in the southeast United States. He runs 7 states. I can remember when my brother brought him into the office. Brought him into the office, and he says, what do you want? You know, they're always scared. They think something went wrong. And my brother says, you're going to get a new job. And he sits back in his seat, and he says, well, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to go in sales. The guy looked at him and says, I don't know anything about sales. And my brother explained to him that, well, he had a real good-sized drug business in town. And he had quite a few people that worked for him, and he was able to organize. Well, he was just organizing the wrong thing. We gave him the opportunity to go into sales. He excelled in sales, and look what he's doing today. And we've been given these opportunities to a lot of people. It's amazing what they can do if we just give that opportunity up.
Today, you and your team have over 80 patents. Frank, that's like you're an Einstein. How do you do it? You've never been called Einstein in your life, Frank, have you?
No, I mean a lot about Einstein, but I think we're more. You know what? I think that what we are is we just do things that most people think about. And if you look at a lot of the patents and a lot of the products that we have, I mean, everything from that bumper post sleeve, the plastic cover that you put over a bumper post so you never have to paint it, to our new, well, I don't want to say it's our newest patent. I'd say it's about 2 years old. We got into the electric vehicle market, and what we did is we built and patented a battery charging station for the electric vehicles. And the sales were a little slow for a while, but I must tell you, we just got our biggest order from Audi, and they're putting our charging stations in every plant and every selling facility of theirs all around the country. And so we got some high-tech things, too.
Tell us about Southwest Detroit and its 120,000 people.
Well, and I know that your show is all over the country, and the dynamics and the things that you've been hearing about Detroit in the news are like anything. Some is true, some is false. But most of it is just things that go on in communities with people. Southwest Detroit, which is commonly called Mexican Town, we're about 120,000 people. We don't like to vote. We've been starting to learn now how to vote. We have our first person in the city council that's making a lot of progress on making sure Southwest is acknowledged. The crazy thing and the wildest thing about Southwest Detroit is we're growing. We're the largest growing single area in Detroit for population mass. The nice thing is our restaurants are full. Our people are living there. But if you go into Southwest Detroit, I recently took some people through our community, and they made the comment that we look like the Bronx there. And I'm pretty proud of the Bronx, and I'm pretty proud of Southwest Detroit.
We're talking to Frank Venegas, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Frank Venegas. In 1979, he bought a $150 raffle ticket that changed the lives of tens of thousands of people in Southwest Detroit. Frank, tell us about a Father John Foley out of Chicago and the Cristo Rey High School Network.
I thought you'd ask me on who do I owe Cristo Rey to, and I owe Cristo Rey to my brother. Because my brother originally got mixed with Father Foley and the Cristo Rey organization because he needed a favor from the Holy Redeemer High School, and they helped my brother out. And when the church needed a little help back and they wanted to have a Catholic high school returned back to the city of Detroit, my brother embraced it, and it was amazing. I really didn't even listen too much to their their spiel about, you know, being the school to work, where the kids go to work with you for one day a week. They go one day in 1 week a month. They go 2 days, so they get 5 days a week in with you during the school year, for the whole school year, and they go to school the whole time, and they learn on our dime because we pay their tuition. And these kids are, well, they have a $22,000 or less is what they can only make per family. They get selected on a lottery basis, and damn, I never thought ninth graders could come to work for you and they would be workers. And then I found out that these ninth graders are not just workers, but they're young people, and they're young people that want something. The kids that showed up at our place the first year were kids that had never been into a factory, have never been into an operation like Ideal, never really met people like ourselves that go to work every day. And if you really think about this, can you imagine having ninth graders show up at work and saying they're coming to work for you? And the first thing you think is, what can they do? And then these kids, they started hanging around the ninth grade, and they graduated to the 10th grade, and they stay with you in 10th grade and 11th grade and the 12th grade. And before you know it, they're almost like yours. But the most important thing is you want to be someone that can help. Father Foley was the guy that come up with this idea. He's the guy that's seen this, to do this. I mean, if he would have come to me back then and said, hey, this is what I want to do, I wouldn't have said, hey, Father Foley, I'm ready to help you. I'd say, well, when you get it going, come call me. And that's what he did. He called my brother.
And there's now 28 such high schools in inner cities throughout America. You started taking these kids in ninth grade 7 years ago. And 4 years ago, Frank, you buy 50 iPads for the senior class. Why? And what were the results?
Well, it was nuts, because these kids that were in the ninth grade and the 10th grade, now they're 11th graders, and I'm asking them, okay, about, you know, why are you in this room working on the computers over at Ideal? And they said, because we don't have a computer at home, we don't have one at work, at school. Well, school and work is the same. And I said, really? And they go, yeah. So I bought the iPads for all of the seniors and for the administration and teachers, and we raised our points, our grades, 9%. It was amazing on what they learned and what happened. Then I also found that that computer became the most important thing in the house. It became more important than the refrigerator, because when the one kid got done working on the computer, the brother and the sister wanted to use it. And then, remarkably, you'd think that that computer would get a rest. Uh-uh. That's when the parents used the computer at night to learn and see. And we found out they had a bigger problem. They didn't have Wi-Fi in their house, so we put Wi-Fi in the house. And from then on, we just went rocking and rolling. And the next year, we put in Chromebooks for all of the class, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, administrative, teachers, Wi-Fi, every place. And we gained scores again, 11% more. It was phenomenal. Now, all of a sudden, these kids are looking at what we have, and we think that everybody's got a computer. Now they have a computer, and now they want a job, and they want to do something. And this whole thing got so infectious that it really kind of laid the thing on and what we were going to do next.
If you want to learn more, www.DetroitCristoRay.org. DetroitCristoRay.org. I quote you now, Frank. Cristo Rey schools are like Cranbrook.
Well, I know you've got a national audience, and maybe not everybody knows what Cranbrook is, but Cranbrook, in my mind, is the benchmark of where I want to take Cristo Rey schools and the affiliated Holy Redeemer Elementary and Middle School. We're gonna name it the corner of excellence. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna see if we can have at least one kid in our neighborhood that has graduated from college. And the way that we're gonna do it is Well, we're doing it with the seniors because 2 years ago, my kids weren't in college. And they were going to college. We've been graduating our kids at 100%, and they've been 100% admitted into college. But when they get ready to go to college, their first year as a freshman, they're not ready. So it was Mike Corey, who's the president of the school, and Dr. David Fike from Mary Grove College. We got together, and I said, hey, guess what? I want my kids to go to college in their senior year. I want them to be able to get credits that they can take with them. So when they start their first freshman class, they got 6, 7, 8 credits in their pocket. But more importantly, they know where the administration's at. They know how to talk to the teachers. They know their responsibilities because they didn't have anybody to ask at their home. So now my kids go to college in their senior year. Last year we had 59 kids that went to college in their senior year. We have our first graduating class because we now our kids have been in the college this year here for the fourth year. And we're graduating kids at 3.7 times the national level of having our kids graduate college in 4 years. It's absolutely incredible in what's going on, Jack.
Let's go to another subject. Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation. Tell us about that.
Well, it's kind of goofy. We go back into when we hired the guys in the gangs, and we found out that we didn't have a place where we could meet. You know, we could meet at a restaurant, we could meet on a telephone someplace, but we didn't have a place to meet. So Angie Reyes and myself and a few others, we went and we looked for a clubhouse, someplace that we could call our own. And we ended up buying a building on Trumbull. And it's in a neutral area where no gang claimed the area. But most importantly is we turned this place into, well, we started teaching kids. And we started teaching parents on how to read and speak English. We started teaching HIV because HIV was very prevalent here in Detroit. But I must say it's under control now. We started taking tattoos off of gang guys that were no longer gang guys that needed the tattoo off so that they wouldn't be considered part of a gang. Then we started teaching singing and dancing. And then 2 years ago, it was remarkable, Jack. I'm going to tell you something. I always dreamed about, you know, you hear about these guys at Santa Claus time around Christmas giving out and passing on $100 bills and everybody gets excited. Well, we did something similar to like that. But it wasn't throwing $100 bills out. We were saying we were going to offer robotics, how to train for STEAM. And guess what? The robotics come into the DHDC, and you would not believe what's happened, Jack.
We're talking to Frank Venegas, who's had a lot of crazy ideas. But think about this. Hispanic kids starting a robotics program. We'll hear about it when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Frank Venegas, the founder and CEO of Ideal Group, and a male version of the late, great Eleanor Jacitis. Frank, tell us about this robotics program that you started in 2014.
Well, that's kind of neat to think about Eleanor. Eleanor used to say that Ideal was the focus hope that made money. And Eleanor was, she was the best. Father Cunningham was incredible too. But I think they both worked together in pairs well, but I think they worked better when Father Cunningham was working in heaven, making sure everybody was going to take care of things and let Eleanor make sure that the house was running. And I know they're doing both well in heaven. But the Hispanic DHDC is we're having our gala, and the gala is in October.
Actually, Thursday, October 29th at the Garden Theater. The main person you're honoring this year is Mark Royce, Executive VP of Global Development. And if you want to learn more about that, you can call 313-967-4880 or www.dhdc1.org/dream-makers-gala. This robotics program. Your kids just went to their first robotics competition in January of 2015. How'd they do?
Well, first of all, the kids thought, what are we doing here? And they thought that this was going to be, well, they really didn't know what they thought. And then all of a sudden, what happened was is the robotics program is so organized, but more importantly, there was so much interest in our end, and then we started building things. We got incredible help from so many people here in Detroit, but I'm going to tell you what, General Motors has jumped in like you wouldn't believe on this project because they want engineers. They want Hispanic engineers. They want Detroit to be successful. When you have someone like Mark Royce that stands behind you, but more or less gives you the nod to say, let's get this thing done. And so we said, okay. So we built this center where we have all sorts of machines and places where they can make and fix the robotics. And we have these kids that knew nothing about robotics, and in come as many girls as there is boys. And you say, gosh, is there that many girl engineers? And yes, ma'am, there are. There's lots of girl engineers. And then they decide to take a look at what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And that's when everything lit up. And then when we went to our first competition, we were given the opportunity to compete with other kids. And then they're so organized, and what happens was the kids from the other side of the state come over to our kids, and they knew this was our first tournament, and come over and talk to us about how we could do better and how to build our product better and how to become better competitors. But more than anything else is they taught us how to work with others. And then General Motors come in, and they started to say, we need volunteers. Well, General Motors has a lot of Hispanic engineers. Plenty of Hispanic engineers. And in comes these engineers that are graduates, that are looking for young people, but more importantly, they're looking for that other part of their career that they're not getting. You go to work, you work on things, you work on cars, but you don't get to work with the young people and get them excited. And when they get that chance to get these young people excited, and we went to a tournament, Jack, you wouldn't believe it. They wore wolf's tails because we were the Kinetic Wolves. They wore wolf ears at the end of the contest. The other people wanted our wolf ears and tails, and they traded them. But more than anything else is these kids now all collaborate with each other and collaborate with places and people from other places. We took our kids to Grand Rapids. They'd never been to Grand Rapids before. They stayed in a hotel. They watched what it was like to see what doing something with so many other people, what it meant to be winners. And that's what happened.
Frank Venegas, what is an angel?
Mike Feasey.
Frank Venegas, when you shave in the morning and you look in the mirror, you're looking at an angel.
Oh, thanks, Jack. I'm a doer.
Why do you love these Hispanic people so much?
I don't know if it's so much just the Hispanic people. I think it's I think it's what my mother told me. My mother always told me, she said, Frank, if you help someone, you'll go to heaven. And this is no BS. I'm telling you the truth. And I would I told my mom, and I can still remember. I said, well, if I help a whole bunch of people, what happens? She says, you'll really get to heaven. And one of the things that I do know, over at Crystal Ray, we got this gym that reminds you of being in this old gym that's all wood floors and wood railing and seats up there, and I look up all the time and I see my grandmother and my grandfather, my mom and dad up there, and they saved a seat for me, and I want to get up there. So I work hard for people.
Tell us about the Cadillac Urban Garden.
Oh, you know, every time we turn around, there's something else. I own bunches of property here in Detroit, and General Motors come to me one day, and they said to me, hey, we got these containers, and they ship these parts in from Korea. And there were metal boxes with the plastic innards in them, and they said, hey, we need to do something with them because we're piling them up real high, but we need to make something. They said, maybe a trailer. And I looked at them. I said, nah, those things are above ground gardens. And Cadillac Urban Gardens, look it up. It's real easy. And we put about 500 of these things together, made an above ground garden. And today it serves, I'd say anywhere from 50 to 100 families every single day, making fresh food, salsa, chilies, tomatoes, you name it, we grow it, and it's open to the public, it's open to the neighborhood, and it's been something else, Jack.
All these young people from Southwest Detroit, Mexican town, that you've helped, as you watch them year by year, what's the biggest thing they've taught you, Frank Venegas?
You know, I don't know it so much as what they taught me, it's but what I'm teaching them. And it's kind of ironic because I had something that happened today because I had to put two of them together. And I reminded them that they owe me something because I helped them. And I asked one of the kids that I helped 5 years ago to help another young man that's in a little bit of excellent student, great kid. But he's not sure what he's doing. He's got some problems at home. I said, you owe me. You need to take care of this kid. So I guess what I learned from all of this is that, you know, I've had a lot of people help me, and I promised some of the greatest mentors I have that I would always help someone else. So like I said, I think it's what I learned is to go out there and help someone else is what I learned, and that's what they teach me.
As our time winds down together tonight, what advice would you give to our young listeners, Frank Venegas?
Anybody can do it, but anybody can hear that. But you really got to know what you really, really want to do. And that includes us all. And it's sometimes not just kids. It's people. It's amazing on what you can do and what you can teach someone. So my thing is I think we all owe someone to someone. So let's find that person you owe something to and help them.
Frank, what a terrific role model of somebody who loves life and lives love. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Jack. I hope to be back again one day.
You will be. Please join us next time. Until then, I'm Jack Prasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.